desire by the help of the Lord to continue something that we started a few weeks ago. And as we go through this life, we certainly need the Lord to hold our hand so that we are not discouraged as we go along by the toils of the road. And recognizing, as we brought forth last time, as the song says, the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. So we talked about what toils are and all that, and we made reference to how God can bless us and help us. Well, let me back. We talked about what the goal is, right? The goal is that if we're faithful unto death, and then we'll have a crown of life. So we want to endeavor to do that by the help of the Lord. And I also believe we made mention of the scripture that hold fast to what you have, that no man take thy crown. And we made mention of, as we journey along this pathway of life, what we need each day to help us to be able to overcome the toils of the road is we need daily strength and help from the Lord. So we talked about that a little bit. So by the help of the Lord, we're going to continue on. We're going to start with how God promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And just like the brother just sung about, he's holding our hand. So if he know, as long as we stay, keep a good grip of his hand, right, he's not going to let go. The only way that we lose grip is if we let go. So if we're holding on tight, then we know that God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And this is something that you heard the scripture that talks about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So this verse about God never leaving us nor forsaking us, it's mentioned in the Bible quite a bit. You know where it starts with? Let's go back when Moses may have made reference to this. Moses was about to die, and he was passing his mantle on to Joshua, and Joshua had some concerns. Joshua was wondering, he's like, I don't know, Moses, you've been such a wonderful leader. I don't know that I can take up this mantle and continue on what you started. So Moses had some words of encouragement for Brother Joshua along the way. So we'll start there. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter and the 6th verse. Deuteronomy 31 and 6. So Moses was encouraging Joshua. He said, be strong and of a good courage. He said, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Moses had been through some things, hadn't he? Yeah. He went through quite a bit during his life, but he had some encouragement for Joshua to let him know, this God that I serve and that we serve, he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you. So you don't have to be afraid. Whatever you may have to go through, whatever you may have to deal with, God will be with you every step of the way. So he was just lifting him up and letting him know, you don't have to be afraid. God will go with you. Not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So if that was not enough, guess what happened after Moses died? There was some more reassurance for Brother Joshua. And it might sound a little familiar. Let's go to the first chapter of Joshua and the 5th verse. So again, we talk about this is something that's mentioned. You know, we've talked about this before. When something is mentioned multiple times in the Bible, do you think that there's supposed to be some kind of emphasis behind it? All right. You think it means something? So encouraging words for Brother Joshua from Moses. Now Moses has gone on now. And now let's see what it says here in the fifth chapter of the first birth of Joshua. There shall not be any man to be able to stand before thee all of the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now this is, God came down and visited with Joshua after Moses died. And he reassured him a second time now. So now, Brother Joshua, you've seen me work in Moses' life. And now I'm just letting you know, I'm reinforcing what Moses already told you. He said, you don't have to worry about any of those that stand before you. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake thee. So we have an assurance of that. So that's twice now that we have these words. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I mean, if it was just those two verses in the Bible, it should be enough for us to be encouraged to know that God is not going to, he's no respecter of persons, right? And what he's done for others, he'll do for us as well. So it can be an encouragement for us to know that God's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. But you know what? These words appear some more in the Bible. Guess what? When David had some encouraging words for his son Solomon. You know, David was a king and God blessed him and God was with him. And he didn't always do everything perfect, but God was with him. You know, when there came times in his life where he recognized that he'd done wrong, he sought the Lord, but God was with him. God never left him. God didn't forsake him. When he humbled his heart before God, God was right there with him and he kept on going on by the help and by the grace of God. So now then, here we find David trying to uplift and encourage his son Solomon now. And he had some words of encouragement for him in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse. And if you haven't figured it out, there's a little bit of a theme here. You can imagine what these words are that we're going about to read about here in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. And the 20th verse. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And we know the story of, we know how David's life ended, and we know how Solomon's life ended. So it seemed like somewhere along the way, these words of encouragement that David passed down to his son, somehow they got lost. So that's what that is for us. It helps us to recognize that we have these precious promises that God has given us in his word. But what we have to do is we have to hold on to them. We have to hold on to them and take them to heart so that we don't lose them. Because what this lets us know is that if we don't hold on to them and treasure them and hide them down in our hearts, then we can begin to drift away just like Solomon did. Do you think the end of Solomon's life would have been the same if he had taken to heart what his father had told him? He said, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. He said, fear not. Be thou not dismayed, My God, for the Lord thy God, even my God, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until you finish the work which he has had you to do. So going back to the song that the brother said, he's holding my hand. See, somewhere along the way, Brother Solomon let go of God's hand. So Lord, that's what it's, again, it's a admonishment and a reminder for us. Keep on holding on. We always have a part to play. I don't want the Lord to leave me. I don't want the Lord to forsake me. So I got to keep holding on by the help and by the grace of God. The writer says about this verse, he said, the Lord God, even my God, whom I have chosen and served, who has all along been present with me and prospered me, to whom from my own experience of power and goodness. This is David's recommendation to his son. He says, I recommend thee, for he will be with thee to direct, to strengthen, to prosper thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the encouragement the writer gave, he says, we may be sure that God, who owned our fathers and carried them through the services of their day, will in like manner, if we be faithful to him, go with us in our day. See, but we got to be faithful now. If we want to look back on the blessings that God has bestowed upon those that have gone before us, we recognize their faithfulness. And if I want to achieve that same having God never leave me nor forsake me, then I have to remain faithful as well. So I can't expect then that if I'm not faithful, then I can't expect God to be faithful. Right? It's just I have to do my part. If we are faithful, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And any work he has for us, he will be with us. So, you know, that's now three verses now, right? Is the point being driven home? Well, guess what? There's another one. So now if somebody wanted to say, well, that was an Old Testament promise. See, that was something that God gave to those in Old Testament times. Well, guess what? He put it in the New Testament too. So we can have an assurance for us today. We already know that the promise that he said, that he's no respecter of persons, but just in case, he put it in the New Testament too. So let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did we get it? Is that enough? So we can have an assurance to know again. Now this verse has some prerequisites, doesn't it? Yeah. There's some things that I have to make sure that I'm doing as I go through this life, that my conversations are without covetousness, that the things that God has bestowed upon me that I'm thankful and grateful for. And in doing that, I can have an assurance of knowing that he will never leave. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will neither withdraw his presence nor leave us without his help. So we can be encouraged as we go along the pathway of life and the different trials and tests that we face, the toils of the road that come our way, whatever we have to go through and deal with, to know God will be with us every step of the way. And as long as we stay close to him, he'll stay close to us, and we can have an assurance of knowing that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He said, one writer said it this way, God never leaves any unless they leave him. Right? So, I mean, I can't expect if I abandon God, then I can't still stand on that promise, see? I got to stay where he is in order to know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So let's be encouraged, saints. Whatever, wherever you are along the journey and the pathway of life, whatever your toils of the road, my toils are maybe different from yours, but that's not the promise said. He didn't say that the toils matter. It doesn't matter what they are. The point is, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So just keep on holding on to God and stand on the promise that he has given us. Lord, you said, you know, we have that. God gave us these things in his word, and he allows us to say, Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave. And Lord, I need some help here. And what God is, by us doing our part, he's obligated to do his. And he said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So let's be encouraged. When the toils of the road and when you get to the end of the way, you're not even going to remember them. When the toils of the road will seem nothing when you get to the end of the way. Now I'm thinking about Jesus. Jesus is our example. And when we think about Jesus and his life, there's nothing that he requires of us that he wasn't willing to do. Do you think that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, had some toils on his road? Let's talk about a few of his toils. You know that Jesus was betrayed by those that were the closest to him. His dearest friend, one of his closest friends, one of the 12 that he spent the most time with, instilling, teaching and instructing and training them, betrayed him. Do you think that could have had an effect on him? But I want you to take note as we read, you know these scriptures. This is not anything new. We'll look at them, but recognize his response. He knew what was coming. And he still, we can look and see how he responded to him. When we think about us as we go through life, a lot of times we don't know in advance. I mean, what if you knew in advance that somebody was going to treat you wrong? How do you think you would handle that? Lord help me. But I want us to take note at what Jesus did. Let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter. And read verse 21-22. This is at a time when Jesus was, it was the Passover. He was sitting down with his disciples having a meal. They were having a communion with him. And he let them know what was going to take place. Matthew 26. Verse 21-22.
And as they did eat,
he said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Began every one to say unto them, Lord, is it I? Do you notice that he did not say, he knew who it was. He didn't say, you're not worthy to partake of this meal, this communion with us. So what that lets me know that he was still offering In knowing what was going to take place, there was still a hope that could change. Recognizing that I'm going to be betrayed by one of those that love me most, but there remains time for repentance. Don't you think that God, the creator of the universe, if there had been a time for Judas to say, I'm, you know, like David said, I'm the man, I'm the one, and he just laid down and repented there and said, Lord, please forgive me. This is what I was going to do. Have mercy on me. Don't you think God could have had another plan? He would have made a way somehow. Because Jesus gave every opportunity, knowing what was going to take place. He didn't allow that to hinder the possibility of repentance for Judas. So you know the story. They go down through and it goes down to verse 46 where he says, "Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is as at hand that will betray me." So it came down to the point where Judas left and came back and he betrayed being betrayed by one of his closest friends. Don't you think that could have had some kind of effect on him? To say, Lord, how can this be? This is one of the ones that was with me all along. But really, as we continue reading, didn't they all leave him? Let's read a little bit more. Considering some of the toils that Jesus went through. Judas was not the only betrayer. Remember, Brother Peter? Brother Peter was so adamant. And he said, Lord, Jesus told him, you're going to betray me. Oh, no, no. Yeah, I'm not going to betray. That is, if there's one thing that's going to happen, that's not going to be it. I am not, there is no way I'm going to betray you, Lord. Again, Jesus, he knew what was going to take place. Toils of the road. But he remained, you know, him being faithful, even in his closest friends, in their failings, they were able to recognize, you know what? He didn't leave me alone. He's still there for me, that I can fall on my face and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Just for the sake of time, we're not going to do all of the reading. But when you go down to Matthew in the 26th chapter and the 74th verse. This is not only the first or the second time that he denied him. This is the third time where those that were around saying, I recognize you. You was with Jesus. So he had denied not once, twice. And now here somebody else says, you look familiar. I saw you hanging around with Jesus. And this is what the response was. Matthew 26 and 74.
And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew.
Wait, where did that come from? This is Brother Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends. And now he's cursing and swearing and saying, I don't know him. But then the cock crowed. And don't you think he was reminded in his mind of what Jesus told him?
Yeah.
But you know what? Because of the love and the compassion that Jesus showed, what was Peter's response? He immediately went and repented. He didn't run away and say, all hope is lost for me. He went and repented. And God have mercy on him. Again, think about Jesus. Knowing things that I'm going to have to go through in life. and those that are closest to me. One going to betray me. One going to deny me. And then in the most difficult time of life, there's a few that are still left that I'm saying, come with me now. You know the story, but we're going to read a little bit about it. He was left, his closest friends. All he asked of them was 1 hour. Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the 26th chapter, let's look at verses 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them. He had Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he went with them. Said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Took with him Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So recognize in terms of the context, see, Peter was still with Jesus when he went into Gethsemane. So this was before his denial. So he was there in one of the most difficult times of his life. He's saying, come with me now, because I need to pray and I want y'all to pray with me. He said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. So he said, I'm struggling. And he's reaching out for help. He's saying, I'm going through something that is so difficult that I need some help and some support. Can you stand with me while I'm in this toil, this trial that I'm in the midst of? Can you just be my reinforcements? I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray with me and to help me. I need to, by the help of the Lord, be able to get through this. And he went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So he's praying to his Father and he's asking him, is there any way? Anyway, maybe there's times in your life as you go through trials and tests where you call on the Lord and you say, Lord, is there any way? Is there any kind of way that I don't have to go through this? That Jesus did. He asked Jesus, the Son of God, asked God the Father, is it possible for any other way for this to take place? So maybe as you go through life, you may find yourselves in a situation like that. We can say, Lord, is there any other way? Oh, but as he was seeking the Lord, he went back to his disciples. What were they doing? In that 40th verse. And he came back to his disciples. And he found them asleep. He said unto Peter, what? I'm just asking for an hour. He just said, this is hard. Can you just pray? I just 1 hour. You know, sometimes you get so weary and tired. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could have stood up or something. I don't know. But it just seemed like that there was... They were so weary and tired. They just, all right, I'm going to try. 1 hour. So Jesus, he went away. And I want you to take note of something. As we read here, as we continue in verse 42 and 44. Something that it seemed like the Lord just really opened this up in my mind. Jesus' prayer changed. Right? So if you look at verse 39, it says, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Yeah. Now, let's read verse 42, please.
He went away again
a second time, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." You recognize that change? Did the situation change? Did the circumstance change? No, there was a change that took place in Jesus. And there, where his prayer was different. So as we go through this life, as God is dealing and working with each and every one of us, as we go along the toils of the road, God makes changes in us. See? And then our prayers change. And we say, "Lord, thy will be done. Not if thou wilt, thy will be done." So there was a change that took place in Jesus. Then he went back and he checked on his disciples, and how were they? Verse 43.
They weren't even the
blinky eyes and the swaying and all the things that you do when you're sleepy and you're trying to stay awake. Hopefully not in church, but, you know, you just the things that you do to try to. They weren't even trying, like standing up, walking around, praying. They just like it's just they was just laid out, knocked out, sleep. He just found them asleep. Their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again. He prayed the third time, saying the same words. "Lord, not as I will." He said, what was that? It says, "Nevertheless, not as I..." No, that's the other one. "If this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Thy will be done. So he said, "Lord God," Jesus said, "Lord God, thy will be done." And that's after that is when Peter, he's supposed to be there praying with him. He was asleep. And now they're taking Jesus away to be crucified. And that's when Peter denied him. Could that have been a hindrance to Jesus? It could have. That could have been a, these are my closest friends. My closest friends in the hour when I needed them the most weren't there for me. But you know what that lets us know? You know, it's good to have people that you can count on, and that's wonderful. But you got to recognize that the closest friend you can ever have is Jesus. You got to be able to get a hold of God for yourself. The songwriter said, "My dearest friend is Jesus. On him I do depend." It's, I'm not saying don't look to those that you have confidence in, but just recognize the most important one to have a relationship with is Jesus Christ. Because you may not, we have a desire to be available at all times, but you may be in the midst of something. I might not be available. Brother Henry may not be available. You got to be able to get to God for yourself. "My dearest friend is Jesus. On him I do depend. He says he will be with me until the very end." It goes back to those verses about never leaving nor forsaking us. You know, that wasn't all. He had some more toils along the way. He was crucified, wasn't he? He was humiliated. He was stripped. He was mocked. You know the story. Let's just read here briefly in Matthew, the 27th chapter. Read verses 27 through 31. Matthew 27. 27 through 31. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. Gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. Put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, put it on his head, put a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him. They took a reed, smote on his head. And after that, they mocked him. They took the robe off of him, put his own raiment on, led him away to be crucified. Humiliated beyond all comprehension. This, after all that he had already gone through, he went through even more. But the point, or the reason why I'm bringing this part out, and again, just reiterating all the things. So in the probably one of the lowest, most humiliating points of his life, something took place. And that it's an encouragement for us to know as we go through the toils of the road, that as if we're faithful, we can be in a help and encouragement to somebody else. So we know he was on the cross and there was two thieves, right? There was one on each side. So in the most humiliating moment of his life, what was he doing? He was reaching out and giving an opportunity for a soul to be saved. So in my toils of life, of the toils of the road, in times when I feel like I need help from somebody else, when I'm depending on the Lord for daily strength and help to be able to get through whatever I'm going through, that somebody can look on me and be encouraged, that I can be an inspiration to somebody else. That's what Jesus, this is the example that he set for you and I. So in Luke, there's two things that took place. First of all, in the midst of all that, what did Jesus do? He forgave. Yes. Luke 23 and
34. Then said Jesus,
Father,
forgive them.
For they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast. How is that possible? Can I, in the midst of the toils of my life, when maybe somebody is mistreating me, by the help and by the grace of God, that I can have a response like Jesus did? Lord, forgive them. It's such a challenge. And by the help of God, I got some work to do. You know, the next time I get cut off somewhere and driving, I mean, it happens all the time. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Help me to have that kind of attitude. I mean, I know that's a easy, simple one. But, you know, just if we start to have that kind of mindset, when more difficult things comes along, our mind will already be in the right place. So I'm saying, Lord, help me. I need you, Lord, to help me in that way so that I can be like Jesus. And so now the joy in the toil. So the victory in the toils is Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now in the midst of the tears, there's some joy as we go down to the 42nd and the 43rd verse of the 23rd chapter of Luke. He said, this is now the two thieves, right? They're one on one side and one on the other. And one of them saying, you know what? If you the Son of God, why don't you command that they take us all down? And the one saying, what are you talking about? What did he say?
And
he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee,
today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Today shalt thou be with me. In the midst of humiliation and in the midst of mockery, he's reaching out and a soul is saved. And he said, you'll be with me in paradise. Do you think that in the midst of all that was going on, it's clear where Jesus' focus was. His focus was on the will of his Father. And his focus wasn't on all the things that had taken place and what was happening to him at that moment in time. He was thinking, I'm fulfilling the will of my Father. And in the midst of that, somebody was able to be blessed. The toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. I believe this is a good point to stop. There's a few more other things I'd like to just talk about. We'll talk about that crown. Talk about that crown that we're endeavoring to gain. And then we're going to talk about heaven. By the help of the Lord the next time. But my encouragement to each and every one of us this morning, as you're going through the toils of the road, just remember God said in his word, he would never leave us nor forsake us. That we just got to keep close to him and he'll keep close to us. And we can be encouraged to know that what we're going through in this life, we're not alone. Others are going through things as well. They have toils of the road. Their toils might not be the same as yours, but know that they're going through some things too. And you can be encouraged to know that the path that you're trotting down is the path that Jesus already trod. You know, the things that we go through, they don't compare to what he went through. But the important thing is God was with him in the most difficult areas and times of his life, and we can be encouraged to know that God will be with us too. And when we get our reward, when we gain that crown and we make it to heaven, then the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.